welcome to the very first episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. On today's episode, we are going to discuss some animal-related myths and pet peeves, as well as discuss some of our favorites and focus on an adorable little South American mammal. We are new to podcasting, so please bear with us. You will discover that I love puns, so if you're not into puns, then this may be a little rough for you. Yes, we are aware in this episode there is a volume difference between my voice and Casey's voice. I am a loudmouth theater girl and he is a bio major. I promise you we have adjusted that for the second episode. We do also use adult language, so if you are offended by strong language and cursing, then this may not be the best podcast for you. We decided to start this podcast because we've been entertaining ourselves with our discussions of animals for years, so we're hoping you'll find it entertaining too. So please let us know if you enjoy it. Without further ado, let's start episode one of the Animal Addicts Podcast. And welcome to the very first episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. I'm your host, Allie.
And I'm Casey.
And we're going to talk about animals, because that's what we do. So it is August in the year 2020, and if you are listening to this in the future, you do not know that 2020 was the crazy year, where the writers of Earth and America went crazy. And Casey and I have been joking about making this podcast for, what, like 2 years?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Long time.
So we figured, why not, in the midst of COVID, decide to finally start recording a podcast? Because everyone needs to know about animals, because animals are better than people, and we all need a little positivity. So you may be asking yourself, what are our qualifications for discussing animals from an educational standpoint? And Casey happens to be a biology major. What's that like, Casey?
It is the best field to work in, and also simultaneously entirely stressful.
I, on the other hand, am just obsessed with animals. My first word was doggy, in fact, and I'm pretty sure that dog wanted to eat me, but it's fine. The other dog loved me, so that's all that matters. Speaking of being obsessed with animals, I spend my time watching nature documentaries like you do. And I feel like there needs to be a website or something with a rating system of, is this documentary safe or like kind of safe or not safe to watch? Mm-hmm. What I mean by that, does the baby animal die that we are following in this story?
Right.
I don't know if you remember Meerkat Manor from back in the day. I didn't need to see the little meerkat pups. Also, mistake, should be called meerkittens. That's just a missed opportunity. But I didn't need to see those little meerkat pups drown. I didn't want to see that. That was awful. So I feel like we need to have warnings about that. Mm-hmm. So I have watched, I have a new one, I should say, to add to my list of Disney Plus documentaries at least. So I can tell you, Dolphin Reef, safe. So baby doesn't die, spoilers. And none of the main animals that you're following die. So, I mean, there's always a little bit of death because, like, it's a nature documentary, right. And that always happens. But, yeah, so Dolphin Reef, guys, safe. You can watch that with kids, with anyone, and you won't want to be sad or cry. Elephants, mostly safe. One does die, but it's very clear from the beginning what that setup is like. That one is going to wind up passing. But it's understandable, so it's okay. Penguins, A, I was told that this was safe, and that was a lie. It is mostly safe, because most of the main characters you're following, and there's a penguin named Steve, you guys. Not creative. I don't know what that's all about, but that's his name. But that one's mostly safe. You can watch that one. Bears, very safe. Except for the salmon. They don't do well. And I don't... The salmon, yeah. They eat the salmon and it's bloody and messy and that's a little sad. But it's nature, so you know. And I don't like... There's a wolf in it. A solitary wolf. A lone wolf, if you will. And They just don't make him nice. He's kind of a villain, and I just feel like that's not fair to wolves, because I love wolves.
Yeah.
But, anyway.
Already a stigma.
It is. It is. And it's not fair, but I guess to the bears, at least the baby bears, who are adorable. Also, there's a moment where you think it's not safe, guys. But it is. It works out okay. Spoilers. However, also on the Disney Plus, I recently watched African Cats, because I love cats. You know I love cats. You love cats.
Of course.
Not fucking safe. Not fucking safe at all. I'm not going to tell you everything that happens. Multiple deaths, you guys. Multiple deaths. It's not cool. It's very sad. And it's mean. And nature can be mean. But, like, this is on Disney Plus, which children watch. And I just feel like it's unnecessarily mean. So my pitch to you, world, is that we need to have a website or some way of knowing which nature documentaries, you know, you want to relax, and you just want to watch a nature documentary and, like, chill and not be sad. So there you go. So yeah, bears, totally safe. Dolphin Reef, those are my top two suggestions for you. Have you watched any documentaries, Casey? Have they made you feel sad?
I have not watched any documentaries recently, but this week I have watched a talk from the Natural History Museum.
The San Diego Natural History Museum?
Of course.
Yes, not New York.
Nope.
We are Southern Californians. Woo! For the podcast listeners, Casey just gave a little whoop whoop arm. I don't know how to describe that, but it's a whoop whoop arm. Yep. Continue, sorry.
Yes, and the topic was Never Home Alone. And basically it was on how there's a bunch of little tiny crawly things that live in our house.
Oh, joy.
Yes. And turns out San Diego City actually has one of the greatest biodiversity in our homes when it comes to insects and arachnids.
I'm sure you're thrilled to hear that, everybody.
Oh, yes. And a point that is brought home is that we need to not be so overly sanitized and want everything clean in our house and keep the stuff outside, because if you live in that kind of mindset, you lead up to the space station, which is basically all the germs you now live with are the ones associated with your toilet.
So what would the other germs be if they weren't associated with the toilet then?
You could find, because there's a ton of microorganisms that can be found in dirt, then if people that have cats and dogs, they will obviously have microorganisms that come off of them. And in general, especially for your younger people, they will be exposed to these growing up, and that will help boost your immunity.
Oh, okay, so it helps the immunity. But, mm-hmm. like, are the other microorganisms, speaking is hard, guys, are they good? Like, you know, there's, like, healthy bacteria in, like, a fish tank.
Yes.
And then bad bacteria in a fish tank. So are some of these microorganisms, got it, mm-hmm. good? Or is it just that you're only limiting one, so you're only going to end up with one bad toilety thing versus having a bunch of bad things?
So the overwhelming majority of bacteria out there have no effect on your health really whatsoever in terms of it causing any kind of diseases. But what can happen is by using like the hand sanitizers that say the 99.9% of germs killed by the product, then a lot of times you end up with a bunch of jerks as that remaining 0.01%. A good comparison would be like cockroaches. You do all this sanitation, all this poisoning, and then you kill a bunch of good bugs that can do stuff like eat other bugs or eat food that have crumbs
left
from.
Around, yeah.
Yeah. And then you kill those guys, then you have waste, and then all you end up left is these jerks of cockroaches that are just a pest in your house.
Why do you just assume that cockroaches are jerks? I mean, they have feelings, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, but one of the things that can get killed by us with our overuse of pesticides in our homes is there is actually a parasitoid kind of wasp that actually will...
Like a parasite. I got there.
Yeah.
It took a second.
It will lay its eggs in the larvae of cockroaches. So it actually helps that kind of wasp helps monitor the cockroach population in your house.
Oh.
And then with our overuse of sanitizing our house, we'll actually kill those guys. And then you're left with the cockroaches.
Okay, so by getting... No. But yes, by getting rid of the wasps, then you have more cockroaches.
Yes.
Okay. And cockroaches are bad. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you don't just want to have just the toilety bad
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, it's like the old phrase, variety is the spice of life.
A variety of microorganisms, guys.
You have to think of your house as an ecosystem. You want a nice, diverse ecosystem so everything's healthy.
Does everybody want an ecosystem in their house?
Well, it's not whether or not you want one. It's the fact that you're going to have one.
Okay, so I don't feel better, really, about not being home alone. With all of these bugs and like spiders are cool. I like spiders. I don't like being surprised by spiders, but and I don't really love like black widows in my house, but other spiders are cool. But so what other kind of bugs and creepy crawlers did they say then are in your house?
So it will vary from region to region. San Diego happens to be most diverse because there's a convergent of different ecosystems in our area. So that's part of the reason for the high diversity. But
why are we special?
Because we have like, if you San Diego, there's a couple, there's like the coastal ecosystems. We have some of these alpine forests. We have deserts more inland. And they all kind of start transitioning towards San Diego. And so because there's all those different ecosystems converging in this one area, there's going to be insects from all those different ecosystems converging in that area. Whereas if you live, let's say, Hawaii, the only thing you would have is invertebrates that are very specialized to tropical ecosystems.
You hear that, San Diego? We're special. Sorry, rest of the world. You don't have as many creepy crawlies in your home ecosystem. So sorry, you're missing out.
And while we're on our topic of insects, I would like to bring up one myth that has been thoroughly debunked.
I should say really fast, I'm shaking a pencil at you. I should not do that. That is something that we want to address on our podcast, on the Animal Addicts podcast. Sometimes there are myths, animal myths, that need to be debunked. So the one that is bugging Casey today... Well, he's going to tell you about it because I cut him off. Continue, Casey.
All right. And so the one that I remember hearing even as a little kid was that earwigs will crawl into your ear and start to eat your brain.
Also, I should specify that I know those as pincher bugs.
Yeah.
But yes, continue.
Okay. And so even though earwigs like dark, moist places to hide in,
ew,
it is very unlikely for them to find their way into your ear. And even if they did... There is a membrane in your ear that would stop them very easily. And even if you had the hungriest earwig in the world that somehow managed to eat through that membrane, there is a bone that prevents it from going to your brain.
Do you happen to know what that bone is called?
No.
Okay, I don't either. I was just curious. I recently learned your mastoid bone. That's not important. Anyway, but I do feel like... anyone with a brain should be able to figure out that that was a wives' tale and like something that kids say, you know? Because there's more like, aren't there supposed to be like spiders crawling into your eye? That's actually happened though, hasn't it? That's a bad example. I think spiders have actually crawled into someone's eyes and laid eggs. I think that's a thing.
I have never heard that. I'm very skeptical of that.
I mean, yeah, it sounds weird. But my point being, I think that anyone with a brain would realize that it's very unlikely that pincher bugs or earwigs are going to actually crawl into your ear and start eating your brain. Like, that just, it doesn't seem like that fits or makes any sense. I will, however, say that I do not think that everybody knows. In fact, I know for a fact that not everybody knows this because it drives me nuts. Which, folks, we also will occasionally discuss our, pet peeves.
And Allie has a lot.
We both have a lot. We rant a lot, you guys. It's bad. But this is my number one. This is my absolute number one pet peeve, you guys. Okay. So, cats' paw prints and dogs' paw prints are different. Why do we care, you may ask? This is why. So, giant, huge, million, maybe billion, I don't know. I'm a theater girl, not an athlete. Sports industries have mascots that are meant to intimidate. So they pick lions and jaguars and panthers and tigers, all of that. And they base their merchandising, and sometimes their logos, around paw prints. Because you have a fierce, like, tiger paw print. Usually see it on gyms. You have a paw print and it's, like, scratching the wall. I also realize I'm acting this out and no one can see this but Casey. Also, quick rabbit trail. I'm a rabbit trailer. Rabbit trail. I also love puns. Anyway, I have a really janky setup COVID system because of the COVID issue. So we don't speak at each other. And it just makes me laugh because I just have to look at Casey through. Basically, this is plastic wrap, guys. It's plastic wrap. And, yeah, anyway, sorry, side note, I might edit that out. Anyway, we'll see. But anyway, so they have these paw prints, these claws, and it's this huge, like, 12-foot painting on the side of a gym or on the gym floor or on your football field or on your, well, it wouldn't be 12 feet if it's on your helmet, but, like, on your various merchandising, on shirts and everything, and it's the wrong fucking paw print. Like, I wouldn't care if it was wrong if it wasn't on, like, everything. When you have a giant 12-foot logo painted on your gym floor or on your ice rink, that's hockey, right? Yep, that's it. It should be accurate, you guys. So, just so you know, in case you didn't know, because I find that most people don't know this, apparently. I found out, actually, at sixth grade camp. We were on a hike, and we found a paw print, and the, counselor showed it to us and let us know that it was a mountain lion paw print because it had an M for mountain lion. Now, mountain lions are not the only ones who have an M, guys. It's a cat thing. So cat paw prints, the pad, is an M. It has three little humps, right, on the bottom to make an M. A dog paw print has two, like an N. But all of these sporting teams... I totally fit in with normal people, you guys. They all have dog paw prints. It's like the tigers, the lions, the jaguars. And it's a dog paw print with claws, which is weird. But it really drives me nuts. So this is a project for you guys. Go home. And if you have a cat and a dog, at least. If you don't, Google it, I guess. Or go to a zoo. A lot of times lions will sleep with their paws up against the glass. I'm just saying. Look at your cat's foot, it has an M. Look at your dog's foot, it has an N. And I just want to ask the jaguars, the lions, all of these people, do not ask me what any of these cities are, could not tell you. I think it's the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I have no idea, that's I'm not into sports either.
That's probably wrong. I kind of like basketball. Anyway, if you're going to put it on your merchandising and on giant... logos on your field and on your gyms and everywhere, just maybe do the research to just make sure you have the right paw print, because it's just lazy. And if you're really just not gonna do it, you don't care, which is possible, then just make it like an oval, like it doesn't, don't commit, non-committal. But anyway, it drives me nuts. I was a cheerleader, I had the wrong paw print on my cheer uniform, and it drove me nuts every single time. So, rant complete. So anyway, on a more positive note, get it, paw? Anyway, so Casey, if you, let's say you are the ruler of a kingdom, mm-hmm. and you need to have various beasts for different events.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, we're kind of thinking like Lord of the Rings, but without magic mm-hmm. and stuff, right? And you're going to need to have an animal to ride into battle, and then naturally once you are victorious and you've won your battles, you're going to have a big celebratory parade. So what would then your formal animal, your formal beast be? So battle beast first.
Battle beast first?
Yeah.
All right. So I would be charging into battle on an Indian rhinoceros.
Why an Indian rhinoceros?
Because they are built like a damn tank.
Are they?
Yes. They are big, bulky, and they literally look like they have armor because of their skin folds.
Oh, those ones, yep, that's stalking. Those are the ones that look like they have, like, plate mail, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because we don't see those as often. Anyway, okay, yeah. Continue.
Yeah. So, one of my favorite rhino species, they usually weigh around 4,000, 6,000 pounds, ooh, 5 to 6 feet tall at the shoulder.
Damn.
Yep. And I will be charging in on top of my rhino at 34 miles per hour.
34, not 35.
Yes, 34.
So random, okay.
That's what came up.
All right.
But specifically 34 miles per hour.
We can't do 35, guys.
No.
I feel like there might be extra drag with a person on them. Like, it might be like 32 or something, but... become aerodynamic.
Yes.
There you go. All right. So that is your battle beast.
Yes.
Okay. My battle beast is going to be a giant eland. Mm-hmm. And I feel like most of our listeners may not know what a giant eland looks like.
Probably not.
I didn't know until I saw them in person and was like, that's a freaking amazing animal. That's going to be my beast animal. So giant elands are giant. They're the biggest antelope species. And they are they're massive. They're tan. They're really tall. I'll tell you their specs in a moment, like it's a sports car. They're really tall. They have these kind of like twisty horns. Not super twisty, but they're not straight. They're really cool looking. And they have these really muted stripes on the side. And I'm definitely, by the way, going to be posting pictures to our Twitter and everything of all the animals that we discuss today. Of most of the animals we discussed today, probably not earwigs. But anyway, so I will post a picture of a giant eland for you. And just so you know, since you probably don't know what they are, just to get a visual, these guys are super tall. They are 4.3, because this is specific, to 5.9 feet tall, only to the shoulder, guys. So they're full on taller than me, taller than most dudes too. And they are 8.3 feet long. That's super freaking long. And these guys are, when I say giant, I'm not kidding. Like, antelope aren't that heavy. I don't even know what they would be, like 200 pounds, maybe a normal antelope.
Maybe less, even.
Maybe less. They're not, they're like agile, right? But these guys, the giant eland, you guys, 1,400 to 2,000 pounds. That is right. My battle animal is a ton. And it's svelte and sleek. And super cool looking. Unfortunately, my animal is going to be trailing behind your animal.
Yes.
At 25 miles an hour. And the only downside is that, well, I guess you'd have to like tuck and roll if physics happened and you're stopped short.
I'll just go to the side.
Yeah, you just have to, well, you don't get to choose with physics. Physics decides for you.
So true.
I mean, anyone who's been horseback riding, if your horse stops suddenly, you have issues. I would just have to like... Perfectly, yeah, I have to just aim perfectly between the horns to not impale myself. But here's the cool thing, you guys, and part of why I want eland, because I picture them running, and then they stick their head down, and they impale the intruder in my kingdom, my queendom, and then they can, like, pick them up a bit, and then I can just stab them and finish them off. But then I guess I have to, like, kick them off the horn somehow, which could be problematic.
You could stop and just dismount and pull
that's
them off.
A lot of effort. I'm gonna have to have like a de-eviscerating stick. That doesn't really make sense. A de-impalation? That's not a thing. That's not a word, guys. But I have to kick them off of my eland's horn somehow. But anyway, elands, you guys, super cool looking. Look them up. Check them out on our Twitter. I will have a picture up. So then, of course, Casey, we've won our battles.
Right.
We're probably allies, really, is what it comes down to. So then you're in your parade to celebrate. What is your formal animal? This is what gets you respect from all of your people, makes you fancy.
Well, I will be prancing into that parade on the greatest of pachyderms, the African elephant.
Ah, yes. Do you feel like you need to be tall? You're yes. not short. Like, I feel like I would be the one who feels like I need to be up high.
I need to be taller.
Okay.
Sitting on an 11-foot tall elephant looking over my kingdom.
That's the shoulder?
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Yep. Weighing in at 6 tons.
Woo! That's 6 elands, guys.
Yeah.
Full grown.
And they can hear through their feet.
That doesn't sound right.
Yes. Well, it is because elephants can communicate through ultrasounds and send sound waves that are too low for us to hear, and they can be picked up through their feet and then goes up into the inner ear.
That sounds like science fiction.
Well, it's true.
That's crazy. You heard it here, folks. Crazy elephant facts. But now I'm just picturing, like, you have, like, a secret service made of elephants.
Of course.
So, like, your elephant, what would your main elephant's name be?
Eddie.
He's very intimidating. Well, I guess he's pretty. Eddie is handsome. Handsome Eddie is going to notice some rabble-rousers in the crowd because maybe someone, our enemy, doesn't like you, and they might try to assassinate you. So Eddie is like, I'm going to get out my feet. I almost said mammograms. Ultrasonic feet technology. And I'm going to communicate to my Secret Service dudes, and I'm going to tap it out, and there I'm going to be like, on the right, dude with a hat, take him out. And then your Secret Service elephants come and just, like, run this guy over.
Oh, yeah. And then pick them up and toss them out.
Oh, that's cool. They can clean up after themselves. Yeah. That's cool. Hopefully they just don't run over your good people, too. But, you know.
They know to stay out of the way.
You have trained them.
Yes.
All right,
well,
folks.
I never said that.
Okay. They know. Your people are smart. Yeah. Okay, well, my formal animal, my formal beast, is not as bulky and as showy as yours in, like, size and all of that, but mine is gorgeous, okay? Yeah. Really, I feel like mine is actually one of the most beautiful animals that exist. Mm-hmm. I really think it is. I am, of course, speaking about the okapi. Now, some people know what an okapi is.
I would not bet most.
You know, I was at a zoo at the park where we frequent when I was younger. Back in the day when they had the monorail system. Dude, we're talking a ways back. And I was in front of this, like, family. And then there were some people behind them. And the people behind them were talking about, like, oh, that animal over there. And they named it wrong. And this little, like, 8-year-old kid, like, under his breath was like, it's no copy. And it made me so happy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I digress. But yes, I found that many of my friends don't know it. Have you ever played the game Nouns? I think it goes with different names, too. But you put in different nouns into, like, a little hat, and then you go through different rounds. But so one of them is you'd pull it out, and if I had okapi, I'd be like, a rainforest animal that's related to a giraffe. And they had no idea. So they'd pull that word out, and they're like, I have no idea what this is. So for those of you who do not know what an okapi is, they are beautiful. They basically have the butt, or more specifically, the hindquarters of a zebra. And a lot of people, I think that they're related to horses and zebras probably because of that. And they kind of have a horse-like shape, but not really. Like, think of, like, with dogs. German Shepherds have that, like, slanted kind of stance. Like, okapis kind of have that. But they're actually most closely related to giraffes. Giraffe? Giraffes. What is the plural for giraffe?
We'll say it's giraffes.
Okay. I actually prefer giraffe, but sure, whatever. We'll have to look it up later, guys. Language is fun. Anyway, they're mostly related to giraffes. So they basically have the hindquarters of a zebra, and then they're this dark, beautiful brown color for most of their body. And then their head kind of looks like a giraffe a little bit, obviously not with those markings, and they don't have a super long neck or anything. And they have a tongue like a giraffe, for sure. If you ever watch them eat, like, their tongue comes out and wraps around things, and giraffe tongues are crazy. But okapis are just beautiful. They're so beautiful, and they're very elegant. So I would just, like, I'd be in, like, a pretty dress with something flowy and my graceful okapi. They're very graceful when they walk, not so much when they run. That's not very graceful. But it's a formal event, so I'm not going to be running. And Okapis, you guys. Again, not super tall. 5 feet at the shoulder. So, honestly, about my height. But they're taller than me with the rest of them. These guys, not like an eland. They don't need to be. They're pretty. They're only 440 pounds to 660 pounds. So, not too heavy. And these guys live about 20 to 30 years, so I guess I have my formal beast for, I gotta have my one okapi. I have no idea what I would name it. Oh my gosh. We'll come back to that. I can't. I'm on the spot. I can't do it. So I could keep my one individual formal okapi for, you know, the prime years of my reign. And then another cool thing about an okapi, guys, they have what is called a pacing gait, which you will see this also in giraffes. Giraffe something. Maybe I'll look it up and then edit these out so we have the right one. Probably not. Let's be real. Giraffe and camels do it too. So pacing gait is where you have both feet on the same side, the front and back move together at the same time. So when they walk, it's their front right and their back right are going forward at the same time. Then their front and back left go at the same time. Whereas most animals alternate. Like think about it. If we were quadrupedal...
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you. It was close. Like when you walk, your arm swings in the opposite direction, right? So if you were walking on all four, you'd probably, now Casey is testing this, guys, you would probably walk that way. So you're walking like most animals where it's the opposite limbs. But no, pacing gait animals walk with the same side at the same time. So they have kind of this weird gait to them, and it's almost not like a bounce, but it's a weird sway. I don't know what you'd call that, but anyway, yeah. So okapi,
yeah,
my formal beast,
probably give you a bit of a sway back and forth while you're riding in town.
It would. But it's like, I feel like it's forward and back, maybe because they're shifting their weight. Oh my gosh, you're gonna be like, you're going in like circles. I'm gonna have to have a special saddle, you guys. It's fine. It's all about looks. It's not about function for formal beast. So just to reiterate, Casey's battle beast and formal beast
would be the Indian rhino and African elephant.
And Allie's battle beast and formal beast, the giant eland and the okapi. So let us know, folks. Write to us at our Twitter. That's not a thing. Tweet to us, really. Your choices for your battle beast and your formal beast. And it's okay if you want to use ours, but I mean, just try and go out there. I should also specify, this needs to be a real animal that can actually support your weight. So you can't have like a kangaroo rat, can't be your any animal because that can't support you. Anyway, enough about us. After all, this podcast was intended to do more than just let us vent and talk about ourselves. We also want to introduce a special animal that you may or may not be familiar with our Animal of the Week segment, or aww. We've decided to go around the world, starting in South America. And our first aww is...
the Coatimundi!
Yay! They're so cute! Yes. What does it look like, Casey?
So, think of an animal about the size of a raccoon.
Okay.
Except thinner. Still has a tail with those rings on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And a longer snout.
I love their little long, their little snout. And yes. I feel like their nose is just like so cute.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell us about them, Casey.
So they come from the family Procyonidae, which is basically the raccoon and their relatives. Tiny, omnivorous, typically nocturnal animals. Somewhat related to bears. And they...
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And there's actually four species, and they're separate into what are called genera. That is the... whenever you see a scientific name, there's two names. Genera is the first name. And there's Nasua, which is the... split into Nasua, which is the South American coati. Then there's Nasua narica, which is the white-nosed coati. And then the other genus is Nasuela, and that is split into Nasuela meridiensis, which is the eastern mountain coati. Then there's Nasuela olivacea.
And these are all South American, though.
Yes, these are all from South America.
Okay.
And we're going to focus on the Western Mountain Coati, which I am just going to abbreviate as Mountain Coati because I don't feel like saying Western every time. If you're in the San Diego area, you can see them at the Safari Park in Escondido. And these guys, the Mountain Coatis, actually used to be considered a single species. There's probably still some debate about that. But when you look on the internet and as well as the IUCN, which is International Union of Conservation of Nature, they are assessed as two separate species, unfortunately both in decline. And these guys specifically are found in the Andes mountain ranges, specifically in western Venezuela, Colombia, and Ecuador. They live in forests in the mountains that are at elevations over 2,000 meters, which in the behavioral system is 6,500 feet. The lifespan of these guys, first I'm going to go over lifespan and life expectancy, because we're probably going
different?
To end up, yes, they are technically different.
Okay.
If you go by actual definitions, but we use them interchangeably. Lifespan is the maximum age at which an individual of a species has lived to.
Okay.
Whereas life expectancy is the average age an individual of a species is expected to live to.
Gotcha. Okay.
And for mountain coatis, in the wild, it's about 7 years, whereas in captivity, it's about 14 years.
Oh, that makes me happy because they're so cute.
Which is,
well, not
about 7 years is typical of what you would see in a small mammal like a coati. And these guys are actually among the smaller of the coatimundis. Mountain species are about half the size of their lowland cousins.
Wow.
Yep. And they are about 50 centimeters long. That's about 20 inches. And their tail alone is about 30 centimeters.
Wow.
Or 11 inches. Which is typical of animals that live in the mountains. They need these long tails in order to keep balance while they're climbing in trees and such.
So are they mostly arboreal? Is that what the term would be?
Yes, arboreal.
Yay,
is
guys.
The correct term.
I'm not a major, but I know some things.
And they weigh about 1 to 1.5 kilograms, which is approximately 2.2 to 3 pounds. And these guys, like many of their relatives, are omnivorous, meaning they will eat plants and animals, although primarily they will feed on insects, and they have those long noses so they can actually dig through the dirt looking for different insects to feed on.
So they'd probably do well in our home ecosystems with all of those, that insect diversity from earlier.
Potentially. But they will also feed on fruit and occasionally small vertebrates like birds, lizards, small mammals.
Suddenly they're not as cute. Like, I just didn't...
It's nature. It's not supposed to be cute.
I mean, but they're just so cute, but maybe not. Okay, yeah. Continue.
Yeah, and so some other adaptations they have is the fact that they are among the more social members of the raccoon families. The females will actually live in what groups called bands of about 5 to 12 individuals, although there's been groups of over 20.
Wow.
Yes. And this gets into a funny distinction between the word coati and coatimundi, because coati technically refers to a group, whereas a coatimundi is supposed to mean a lone coati.
So like a herd of horses would be a coati of coatimundi?
Yes.
Something like that. It's either way, it's the group
like
name.
That.
So, okay.
But that's a language distinction. Most people use them interchangeably. And in most cases, the coatimundi would be a male because they are loners. They, at about 2-3 years of age, they'll get kicked out of their band.
Oh, you've been rejected from the band. they start their solo career. It's fine.
And because they're living on their own, males also tend to be a bit more nocturnal than females because they don't have the safety in numbers. So they like to stay out at night where there's fewer predators to come after them. another cool adaptation they have is the fact that they can rotate their ankle 180 degrees.
So we can't, I'm trying. No. We can't do that naturally, guys. That's a problem.
No, and what this allows them to do is when they're going up or down the tree, they can
rotate their ankles.
Yes, yeah, so they actually can go down the tree face down, whereas if you look at a cat, it will have to shimmy down the tree.
Because Casey just acted out a cat shimmying down the tree. Anyway, so it's just, yeah, it's more efficient, I guess, to just face down the tree and just walk down. They're like Spider-Man. They could just like walk down the tree. That's not a thing. They can walk down the tree.
Yep.
Normally.
These guys are near threatened, whereas most other Coatis are least concerned, which means they have very stable populations. They're all in decline, but their populations are not at the point where they're at risk of becoming extinct further down the line. And there are several threats to these guys. One of the big ones is agricultural expansion, which leads to deforestation, and then they're losing habitat.
Which is typical for most animals.
Yes.
Pretty much everywhere, right?
Yeah, most animals, their number one threats are loss of habitat.
Human encroachment, essentially,
yeah. Yes. There's also the threat of people taking these guys illegally for the pet trade.
I mean, I get they're cute guys, but we have to be responsible.
Yeah. And this brings me to a story of when I was a little kid. I went to the Big Bear Alpine Zoo, and they actually had a coati named Elvis.
Of course they did.
He was very cute, but unfortunately he was taken as a legal pet and they did not take care of him properly.
Poor guy. So then the Alpine Zoo took him. The Alpine Big Bear Zoo? Is it just the Big Bear
Zoo? You can just say Big Bear Zoo.
The Big Bear Zoo in Alpine, California?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Great. So, guys, don't have exotic pets for... Wait. Don't take exotic animals for pets. Like, a lot of people think it's cool to have a monkey. It's not cool to have a monkey, guys. No. It's not.
Monkeys are especially dangerous.
They're really bad. That's another topic. But, I mean, I get coatis are super cute, you guys. Mm-hmm. But don't do it. They need to have their room to run. And a lot of times, these animals don't make good pets anyway. Yeah. So don't get involved.
Don't get involved with illegal pet trade.
You heard it here, guys. Don't get involved in the illegal pet trade. Don't do illegal things. Stay in school. And what do you learn in school, Casey? Blank stare, guys. I'm getting a blank stare from the bio major. You know, you're not in school right now, right?
No,
you
have a break. And so I'm becoming brain dead.
Okay,
my brain's
great.
Rotting.
He'll get it back. He really will. But what you first, one of the first things you learn in school, Casey, is the alphabet, your ABCs. So we like to do a fun little challenge for ourselves, guys, and you can play along with us. And today's challenge, which I'm springing on Casey because I chose it today, we're gonna alternate, dude, 26 letters in the alphabet, 13 All right. for each of us, math. We are gonna alternate doing an animal name for each letter of the alphabet.
Okay.
Okay, so I forgot to grab a coin. So I'm holding a number behind my back, and I'm in this moment deciding what number that's going to be. Okay, I got it. I just want you to decide. It's a number from 1 to 10. I just want you to decide if it is even or odd. And if it's even, you're going to go first. Okay.
Even.
You're going first. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. A.
A guti.
I didn't expect that. B. A bear. Are we going really simple? We'll go simple. Okay, yep. Sure. C.
Cat. D.
Dog. This is so easy. E.
Elephant.
F. That's me. F. A fossa. Fossa? How do you say that?
Fossa.
Fossa. There we go. I don't know if that counts. Ferret. Say ferret. What's after F? G? G.
Gorilla.
This is great, guys. H. Thank you, H. H is, I only learned about these because looking them up the other day. I'll go with something different. A hippo. It's a hippo.
Okay.
H. I.
Iguana.
Okay. I. J. Jackal. L. K. J. K. K.
Kangaroo.
Now L. It's L, right? Llama. M.
Mongoose.
Okay. N. N. Oh, I'm panicking. I'm panicking. Oh my gosh. Northern white rhino. oh.
Octopus.
P. Hi. Przewalski horse.
Sorry.
P. Q. That's what I was said to. Q.
R.
R is a ring-tailed lemur. S.
Serval.
I like servals. T. A. titmouse. Is there just a titmouse or are they a specific titmouse? Tiger. Tiger. I'm going with tiger. Okay. T. U. S. T. U.
U.
This one's hard. I only know of one. The U is where you get it, guys.
Umbrella bird.
Is that real?
I think so.
Okay, we're going to check on that one. U, V. V is where we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
V is a vulture. U, V. W.
Umbrella bird is official.
You're right. Okay, so W. W, it's your letter. W. Don't look at the computer. W.
I'm saying, I'm cheating. I don't want to cheat.
Oh, because you saw something. I'm confused.
No, something very simple in my head.
We did. I said tiger, so.
Okay, well.
There we go. Fine. Where are we? Oh my gosh. W. I almost said H. You guys, I don't know the alphabet. W. X? No, yes. Y. X. X. I'm so happy. I looked up how to pronounce this. Sholo eats Queenty. Queently. Oh, it's the dog from Coco, you guys. Why?
Yak.
Z. Zebra. We did it! So let us know how you guys did.
Hopefully you know the alphabet better.
Yeah, I hope. Maybe write it out. Because we're clearly not good at it. It's just hard when you stop in the middle. Then I have to sing the song and it's just sad. Anyway, and on that note, we have reached the end of our premiere podcast. We hope you've enjoyed our antics. Get it? Antics.
She wasn't kidding about the good puns, guys.
I love them. And it brings it back to our diverse ecosystem in our homes in San Diego. This Animal Addicts Catastrophe has been brought to you by Allie.
And Casey.
And remember, don't exasperate the elephants.
Run with the rhinos.
Don't do that either. Or at least run behind them. Okay, see you next week.